Stand, please. It's all recorded today in session. Be seated, please.
Mr. Lawler?
Morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Michael Lawler. I'm counsel for Mr. Franklin. The issue in this case, Your Honor, is whether or not trial counsel for Mr. Franklin was constitutionally ineffective for engaging in a strategy of conceding Mr. Franklin's guilt to a large number of the charges in this case, which, although in an effort to avoid a statutory mandatory punishment of life imprisonment, effectively ensured under the non-mandatory guidelines that he would still receive the same punishment of life incarceration. As we've laid out in the brief in this case, the non-binding guideline range in this case would have been and was in fact a 43, which even at a criminal history range of 1 is a guideline sentence of life incarceration.
If the defense had succeeded, wouldn't the level have been 41?
Your Honor, our submission is that under any variation of the math, that this was assured to be a 43. Our contention...
He'd have to get 4 for manager or organizer. He could have just gotten 2.
And
that would have been a 41 instead of 43, and that's not a life sentence as I read the chart.
I agree with you, 41 is not life. I disagree with the notion that there was any objective, reasonable likelihood that Mr. Franklin was going to get a 41. First of all, we think there was no way that he was objectively going to avoid a 45 because the base offense for the drugs was assured to be a 38. They conceded to 1 additional level for being within 1,000 feet of a school, 2 additional levels because of the gun bump. And then there was no way...
Two additional because of the what?
Because of the possession of a gun under 2D1.1. That actually was not applied in this case because Mr. Franklin was convicted of 924C counts, which obviates the need for a 2-level gun bump.
So I have the 36, 2 for the gun, 1 for near the school. That gets me to 39. What else was guaranteed, even if the defense succeeded?
Well, Your Honor, again, I would disagree with the notion that there was any reasonable likelihood that this was going to be a 36. For the
I know, I'm just doing the math. You start, and I'm taking your points so far. 36 plus 2 for the gun.
38, though, not 36. 38 plus 1 plus 2 plus 4 is 45. So even if you permit some wiggle room that the defendant received only a 36 for the drugs or 2 for a liter, which we submit was not a reasonable likelihood in this case, there were 2 different ways he was going to get to a 43 in this case. Our submission, Your Honor, is that the strategy of counsel here was both objectively and subjectively unreasonable. It was objectively unreasonable because no lawyer should and no defendant would concede to certain counts that carry the same penalty as those that are sought to, those that the defendant is seeking to avoid. It would be objectively unreasonable for an attorney or for a defendant to say, I'm not guilty of the life count in count 1, but I am guilty of the life count in count 2, which is we submit what happened here. It was subjectively unreasonable because the advice that was given to Mr. Franklin was inadequate and was not clear that he would, in fact, or more likely than not, would, in fact, have a guideline range of life incarceration.
He told that if the defense worked, he would not get a life sentence, or was he told that if the defense worked, he might not get a life sentence?
Well, there's a conflict in this, Your Honor. The inquiry that was made in front of the court at the beginning of the trial, when in open court Mr. Franklin was advised of this, counsel indicates to Mr. Franklin assents to the fact that he is assured of being given, quote-unquote, some period of incarceration. Ms. Amato, who was counsel in the case since day one and who testified in the lower court that she spent more time advising Mr. Franklin going over the guideline range with him, said that the base offense level would be no higher than a 39. Mr. Tuminelli testified that he advised Mr. Franklin that there was a chance that a life sentence would be the advisory guideline range, and at that point, they would be confined to essentially begging for mercy under and hoping that the court gave a variant sentence post-Booker. We believe that the testimony of Mr. Franklin in the larger share of the evidence, if you will, demonstrates that Mr. Franklin was denied informed consent.
I might have missed something. The 30 kilos or more, 2-point bump, if the defense worked, it wasn't certain that that would happen, or do you disagree with that?
I'm sorry, Your Honor, what bump?
The 2-point bump for 30 kilos or more of PCP.
Well, Your Honor, the government's contention is, I believe, that there was some likelihood that the base offense level for the drugs could be a 36 based on the testimony of one of the cooperating witnesses, Mr. Martin, who conceded on cross-examination by Mr. Tuminelli that he could have given Mr. Franklin as little as 10 gallons of PCP, which converts to a base offense level of 36. However, there was no reasonable likelihood that the calculus stopped there, because there was the testimony of Cesar Harris, who testified to giving Mr. Franklin an additional 3 gallons, which, when you add up those gallons, comes to
right. But there was conflicting evidence on that point.
There was not conflicting evidence as to Mr. Harris, Your Honor,
on the amount.
I don't think there was. I think the best case scenario for Mr. Franklin vis-a-vis Mr. Martin was that it was 10 gallons, which is well into a base offense level 36. You're never going to get below a 36, I think, under either party's calculation of the guideline range. But there was, and you'll have to recall, Your Honor, that Mr. Tuminelli was trying to manage what we feel was an impossible straight here, which is, on the one hand, say it was only no more than 10 gallons. On the other hand, and you can see this from the cross-examination of Mr. Harris, make Mr. Franklin to be a weight distributor in an effort to defeat the conspiracy charges. So when Mr. Harris testified as a source of PCP for Mr. Franklin, Mr. Tuminelli did not in any way attempt to reduce those levels, but rather said, you dealt weight to Mr. Franklin. Mr. Franklin was a weight distributor.
Broadening it out a little, there was definitely a possibility of a below life sentence, because the guidelines were advisory at that point.
There was a...
So that first question, or second I asked you, if he was told that he might get a non-life sentence, that's accurate just because of the guidelines being advisory.
There was a possibility, if Mr. Franklin defeated all of the mandatory life sentences, there was a possibility that he could avoid a life sentence if he was convicted of everything except the murder counts, which he was acquitted of, and counts 1 and 2, two and 3, which is the racketeering and the CCE. He could have received a base offense level of 43 or even 45 for the conspiracy count, and Judge Collier could have agreed to a variant sentence and sentenced him below life. I see that I'm into my rebuttal time already, Your Honor.
What about the second part of the Strickland analysis?
And Your Honor, we do feel that the lower court erred in that, because the notion that Mr. Franklin would have cooperated was hardly some after-the-fact statement by him that is either objectively or subjectively unbelievable. This is an individual who 6 times prior to trial met with the government, proffered to them, he did cooperate. He indicated that he did not want to testify against his brother.
That's for sure.
That is for sure, and we absolutely concede that point. But looking on the one hand, and then the second hand, we think any reasonable person, objectively, and then subjectively, an individual who has repeatedly met with the government and is actively seeking out a cooperation agreement, would have testified if he had been given the advice that he should have been given, which is that there's no way you're going to avoid a life sentence in this case. No matter what we do, you either plead guilty, cooperate, or you get a life sentence.
Well, I just want to ask you something out of curiosity. If you were to prevail, what would the relief be?
Your Honor, typically in these cases, and this is sort of a combination of a Strickland analysis and analysis under Hill versus Lockhart, A Hill versus Lockhart analysis is, but for the deficiency of counsel, the defendant would have accepted the plea. Well, he can't cooperate now, so the government would not make a 5K motion.
Government required to make that plea offer again?
I don't think that they can make that, because half of that bargain for benefit is no longer available. It's available to Mr. Franklin. In all candor, it's not available to the government, in which case I do think if the court finds that both deficiency and prejudice, some relief has to be tailored, and in all candor, I don't see anything but a new trial being available in this case, given the circumstances
new
now.
New trial rather than a lowered sentence?
Mr. Franklin and I will be happy to take either. Tailoring the relief in this case, I think, would be more difficult. I do think that what the relief should be is a matter of impression at the first time for the lower court.
Mr. Strand.
May it please the court, Stratton Strand on behalf of the government. I think the most straightforward way to resolve this case is on the prejudice finding. The trial court made a factual determination, credibility determination, having heard Mr. Franklin testify that it did not credit his assertion that he would have accepted the government's cooperation plea deal if he had known that he could have received a guidelines life sentence. That was a factual finding. Factual findings are subject to the clearly erroneous standard. Even today, appellant has not argued that that factual finding was clearly erroneous. He claims only that it was error. There was, of course, a lot of evidence in the record to support the trial court's factual finding, and that included appellant's own testimony that he understood, he discussed the guidelines ramifications with his counsel. He understood that he would only get a life sentence if everything went the way Tuminelli wanted it to go.
And district court's finding doesn't quite get you there, I don't think, because the district court's finding was that Franklin was not credible when he said that he would have accepted the cooperation plea offer and testified had he known that he could have received a life sentence. She doesn't credit that. That still leaves open the possibility, I think, that he would have accepted it if he had been told that he would have received, definitely would have received a non-life sentence under the concession strategy. Isn't that left open after, still with the district court's finding, or am I misreading that?
Well, the claim in the case has always been...
A lot of knots in there. Sorry.
The claim in the case has always been, even in the reply brief, and I think today, that the prejudice argument is if I had known that I could have received life, I would have pled, and that was the question that the court answered, and that's the question that's presented here. I think it's a separate question, what would I have done if I had been given the, what would have been incorrect advice, that you're definitely going to get a guidelines life sentence.
Yeah.
And in any event, there's a lot of evidence that I haven't mentioned.
Right, that would be ineffective.
That would have been ineffective.
Because the advisory guidelines, among other reasons, right? Yeah.
And in addition to that, it was far from certain. Of course, we can't look at this in hindsight. We look at it at the time the strategy was developed. At the time, Mr. Tuminelli didn't know exactly what the cooperators were going to say about weight and leadership. He's trying to predict at this point. But had the strategy been fully effective, and what he'd been faced with was the sentencing judge sentencing him just for substantive distribution counts, it would have been far less likely that he would have received any leadership bump. Effectively, the jury would have rejected the government's claim that he was the leader of an organization.
Well, he probably would have gotten two.
The trial court itself held out, in its opinion, suggested that he might have gotten zero or two. And also the weight.
But two only gets him to 41 as I do the math. Am I right on the math?
You're correct. Two would only get him to 41. Starting at 38 would not have been guaranteed either, because again, the court would not have had a specific jury finding of 30 kilograms.
Right.
And as Your Honor's question suggests, even if guidelines life had been the calculation, Mr. Tuminelli would have been in a much better position to argue for a variance. So it would have, the only correct advice was the advice that Mr. Tuminelli gave, which was you should plead as your best way of avoiding a life sentence.
And the strategy almost worked, right? Wasn't he acquitted of some things that he had acknowledged doing in the cooperation?
He acknowledged the Lurk murders. And he was acquitted of those.
And he was acquitted of them, right.
That's pretty remarkable.
So suggests counsel had some clue as to an effective strategy.
Absolutely. If I could, before I sit down, respond briefly to Judge Edwards' question to my colleague. There are two cases pending before the Supreme Court, Your Honor, that you may be aware of, the Lafler case and the Fry case, in which the precise issue of remedy is raised, remedy for allegedly ineffective plea advice. And the government's position in those cases is that there is no cognizable prejudice if the result of ineffective plea advice, deficient plea advice, is that the defendant has received a constitutionally adequate trial and been convicted and sentenced as a result of a constitutionally adequate trial. We haven't briefed that. The issue wasn't raised, but that is on the table, and that issue will be argued this fall in front of the Supreme Court.
And the government's position is that what the appellate court issues is simply an advisory opinion, then, because there's no relief that can flow from it.
Exactly. If there are no further questions, we would ask that Your Honors affirm the judgment of the district court.
Thank you. We'll give 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Your Honor, at the outset, and forgive me if I'm sort of beating a dead horse, but we do submit that there was no reasonable way to avoid a 43 in this case, that the base offense level for the drugs alone was assured to be a 38, not a 36.
If you're wrong about that, in our judgment, we disagree with you about that. Do you lose?
No, I don't, because there was also no reasonable way to avoid a four-level leadership role in this case. Mr. Tumminelli essentially conceded in closing argument that Mr. Franklin led at least two people, his wife and Mr. Simmons, who was described as his most loyal foot soldier and or a runner. And so the leap from two to five, and this issue was raised on direct appeal in a different context, and I think the government laid out in excess of 20 people that Mr. Franklin was alleged to have led. So to avoid by a preponderance standard, a four-level bump for leader, we think was not a reasonable one, which gets back to the reasonableness of the advice that had to have been given here. The reasonableness, the advice, competent advice in this case was that Mr. Franklin, there is no realistic way to avoid a life sentence. It is not competent advice to say, we're gonna get a 43 no matter what, and we're gonna go to sentencing and beg for mercy. The competent advice should have been in this case that there is no way to avoid a life sentence unless you cooperate. And that was not the advice that was given in this case. And finally, Your Honor, we are arguing and have argued that Judge Collier's opinion on the second prong was clearly erroneous, in part at least because it ignores the fact that Mr. Franklin was cooperating. Cooperation is not made up solely of testimony. That was one component of this, but this was an individual who six times met with the government in an effort to obtain a cooperation agreement. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lawler, you were appointed by the court in this case, and we're very grateful for your assistance, your thorough briefing, and your excellent argument. Thank you.
I appreciate that.